Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us, and on this Friday, we're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, without a doubt. That's me incorporating my Jack Ham phrase, without a doubt. Water, soft drinks, snacks, they roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. You need to stock up for your Beaver Stadium tailgate now. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the dill pickles. Love the barrel pickles. I'm going to be there in 2.5 weeks, and I shall stock up the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. That's my place, baby. All right, and I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. And our play-by-play call of the day, as heard yesterday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Myers ready. So's Velasquez. The 1-2. Swing and a miss. He got it. And it's 16 strikeouts in a complete game shutout. A three-hitter for Velasquez. It's his first start on his new mound here at home. And what a performance today by Velasquez, who was dominant from the very beginning.
And as heard yesterday on the Phillies Radio Network and News Radio 1070 WKOK, Vince Velasquez, what a performance. 16 strikeouts, no walks, a complete game shutout over the San Diego Padres. Wow. Phil's back in action tonight, by the way. It is a story that has captivated the entire country. A story that, driven by sorrow, some hope, more sorrow than some hope, of a little girl that is near and dear to all of our hearts, from a guy that performed at the highest level at Penn State to being a first-team All-American with the Nittany Lions, and eventually with the Cincinnati Bengals. We welcome in Devin Still, the former Nittany Lion. Dev, it is great to hear you again, my friend.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and the first thing before we get to Still Strong is everybody wants to know how Leah is.
She's doing good. I mean, she just got her last tubes taken out of her chest last week, so she's cancer-free. She's done with treatment. She's just trying to be a normal kid again.
and I'll bet when it comes time to be a normal kid, she's going to be really good at that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. Let's talk about the event coming up tomorrow night, the Nittany Lion Inn. It's going to be 6 to 8. It's Still Strong. Tell us about the event and what's going to go into the event and about donations and so forth.
Well, we're holding a reception at the Nittany Lion Inn tomorrow from 6 to 8, like you said. What we really want to do is just be able to introduce the Still Strong Foundation to the Penn State community. I felt as though it was the best place to have our first event, seeing as though I went to Penn State, and Penn State is big on childhood cancer with Don. So we're going to have a couple of players come back and just mingle with a lot of the fans.
Who do you have coming back?
I have Tamba Ali, Derek Williams, Navarro Bowman, Jordan Norwood, and Gerald Hodges.
That's it? That's all you got? Just those guys?
No. Yeah,
that's unbelievable. That's true. The response that you have received from the Penn State community, former teammates, and also nationally, how touched have you been by how people have responded to, obviously, what is something that is devastating for any family to go through?
You know, it was truly amazing just to see, you know, how the Penn State community backed us. It was amazing but not surprising, because in my tenure there at Penn State, I noticed that, you know, Penn State, its students, its faculty, the coaches, and, you know, the alumni, it's really like a family-oriented, you know, university. So just to have them backing us as we went through my daughter's battle with cancer, it really helped us get through it.
Devin, it's what's interesting is that you, as a guy that's played football, you played it at the highest level. Mm-hmm. You're around people that are considered to be tough people. You were a tough football player. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to how, in reality, how tough Lee is?
It doesn't compare at all. You know, I went through a lot of adversity, especially, you know, with my injuries that I had to bounce back from. And I thought I was pretty tough. But watching my daughter have to battle cancer for 2 years and seeing her remain positive and always having a smile on her face no matter what was thrown at her was truly amazing.
As a parent, you have a lot thrown at you during all mm-hmm. of this. You're the parent, you're the caretaker, you trade places with her. How much did she buoy your spirits and actually help you get through while you're trying to be strong and help her get through?
You know, it was always her smile and her personality through, you know, her whole battle with cancer. Rarely did she ever show that it was getting the best of her. You know, she always stayed positive. And every time we looked at her, no matter how sad we were inside about what she was going through, she will always do something to make us laugh and, you know, just boost our spirits back up.
How much has all of this – you had Leah when you were here, if I recall correctly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how much has this battle changed your perspective on life?
It's changed a great deal. No, I don't take – anything for granted. I don't take a minute that I'm able to spend with my daughter for granted, because back in June, you know, doctors told me I had a chance of losing my daughter. You know, so I try to make sure we make the most of every hour, every minute that we spend together.
How tough has it been at times for you to battle, okay, it's time to go in to find out how she's doing? How tough has it been to fight the nerves a little bit? Because, you know, obviously there's nerves going into a game, but this is different. And mm-hmm. and I'm talking from somebody who's, you know, it may not have been cancer. I think people know my son was born with spina bifida. So that feeling of going into the doctor's office, waiting to find out if you have positive news or not, how tough was that for you to try and get through each one of those meetings with doctors?
No, it's scary. I mean, especially when you're just thrown into the battle. You're really trying to get used to the terminology and stuff that the doctors are using. And having to go in there and get tests done, like how the treatments are working, it's always scary for a parent. You know, even when your child goes into remission, you know, a lot of the childhood cancers out here today, they come back. A lot of the kids relapse. So even still, when you're getting those checkups every 6 months or not, you know, every parent has anxiety, meaning that you don't know what's going to come back from the scans and you hope that it's nothing negative.
So you go through what is obviously a living hell, but you've decided with Still Strong that you're going to make the best of it and help as many people as possible. What were some of the elements that went into that decision, and who's been a great help in allowing you to establish this foundation?
You know, I wanted to give my daughter's battle with cancer a purpose. You know, I didn't want her to have to go through this disease for no reason. And one of the hardest things I had to do during her battle was, you know, walk away from her bedside to go back to the Bengals and play so that she could have the insurance to play for her treatment. And I didn't want, you know, other families to go through that, to have to make the decision I did. So I wanted to come up with a foundation where we help these families pay their household bills so they can spend more time, you know, by their child's side in the hospital and, you know, coaching them through beating cancer rather than worrying about their expenses at home. And I've had a great deal of help, especially from all the fans, because they helped bring awareness, you know, to what was going on with my daughter. And they've been supporting our foundation by making donations. And I also have my family, my mom who works with the foundation. And I actually have a fellow Penn Stater named Trish Pavia who went to Penn State, and she's the head of my foundation. So I have a lot of good people backing this.
It's tremendous. How grateful, and this is the first part's an obvious question. How grateful are you for all the money that was donated over the years that allowed advancements to be made in cancer treatment that benefited Leah? And then how important is it on the backside with your foundation and others to continue to see advancements so others may not have to go what you've gone through?
I mean, it's huge. You know, when I was with the Bengals, we raised about $1.6 million that season that went towards childhood cancer research. And it's big because, you know, I don't want to see another family go through what I went through. I really can't put into words how hard it was for my family to make it through my daughter's battle. And I would never wish that upon anybody. So we're going to try to use my platform as a professional football player and my daughter's story to continue to bring awareness and raise as much money as possible for research and for my foundation to help families with the finances.
As talented a player as I've seen here, what's on your football horizon for you?
Well, after I leave Penn State this week and I'm headed down Houston because we start up OTAs Monday,
yep.
I'm just looking forward to getting back to football. I took this year off. Now I was able, you know, to try to make up for lost times with my daughter that we lost when I was out in Cincinnati. And I'm looking forward to get back on the football field and being a football player that I know I can be.
Yeah, and which, by the way, in the end supports, obviously, your daughter and everybody else on top of that as well.
Exactly.
One more time, it's going to be the Nittany Lion Inn tomorrow night, 6 to 8. Jordan Norwood of the who, of course, I think Jordan's still a free agent right now, but he, of course, had the big punt.
He signed a one-year deal.
He signed a one-year deal. Well, he had the longest punt return in Super Bowl history. You got Tom Mahaly, who makes annual trips to the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Navarro Bowman, who makes annual trips to the Pro Bowl. Gerald Hodges wants to make annual trips to the Pro Bowl, among others that will be there tomorrow night. 6 to 8, still strong. It is a blessing that Lee is doing so well. And it's a blessing what you've been able to do with this because you want to help so many other people. It's really what you're doing, Devin, is amazing. But after the leadership we saw from you at a very important time here, I guess nobody's really surprised by that part.
I appreciate that, Steve.
Devin, always a pleasure, and it was our pleasure to help in any way with this.
Thanks. It was nice talking to you again, Steve.
That's Devin Still. The good news is tube's taken out. And at the moment, Leah Still's doing really, really well. Still strong. They'll have the reception tomorrow night. Nittany Lion Inn following the Blue-White game. It'll be 6 to 8. As you mentioned, Derek Williams, Gerald Hodges, Navarro Bowman, Tom Mahaly, Jordan Norwood will all be on hand there. In fact, Jordan Norwood's had a good time here. He and his brother Levi Norwood spoke to the State High State College Area High School today, back in their old high school, talking today. It's kind of neat when the guy with the longest punt return in Super Bowl history is an alumnus. Devin Still, great to hear from him. James Franklin next half hour. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks to Devin Still for being on the show today. Still to come, a sit-down with James Franklin with the Blue-White game tomorrow at 2 o'clock. A quick NFL note for you. You notice that this year Christmas is on a Sunday. I only know that because Sean's been saying, hey, it's great, you know, it's a Sunday. I don't have to go twice. All right, so it's just not the plan, Sean. But since Christmas is on a Sunday, what is the National Football League going to do? Oh, here we go. They're going to have a game on Thursday, as always, and they're going to have 12 games on Christmas Eve. That will include a prime time game, right? And between what the Bengals and the Texans on Christmas Eve. So a prime time game. They'll have a Monday night game, which I think is what I want to say it's the Cowboys and the Lions. But they're going to have a doubleheader on Christmas Day. The Steelers are one of only four teams in the NFL that has never played on Christmas Day. That will change. They're going to play a game on Christmas Day at 4:30 on NFL Network against the Ravens, and the primetime game on Christmas night will be the Broncos and the Kansas City Chiefs on NBC. So that's how it's going to play out.
This will be the first time the Steelers will be playing on Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, playing all three holidays.
Well, good, fine. They're getting paid enough money. They're all good.
That's right. Oh, Kevin was complaining to me last night. He goes, oh, God, they're playing on Thanksgiving. It taps into my Christmas shopping.
Christmas shopping?
I'm like, come on.
What is he talking about? We were at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament last year, and they asked for a donation on the hole, and he opened up his wallet, and a moth flew out. What Christmas shopping is he talking about? And they got that new Geico commercial with, like, they bring the check out and the alligator can't reach it.
That is a funny spot.
That's Kevin. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Sean. I tried to reach it. So the Steelers will play Thanksgiving, Christmas, and on New Year's.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving game, it's the third game of the night. It'll be the third game of the day. They'll have the nighttime game out at Indianapolis on Thanksgiving night.
Andrew Luck and Ben Roethlisberger, head-to-head. Like it. Cowboys, though, are going to play three games in 12 days. Really? I mean, I'm no Cowboys fan. I mean, I really don't care. But that is ridiculous to make.
Despite the 4-12 record, they've got five primetime games.
All right. Well, this is how they look. On the 20th, they play at 1 o'clock against the Ravens. On the 24th, Thanksgiving, they always play on Thanksgiving. They're going to play the Redskins. And then on the 13th, on the December 1st, they have a primetime game with the Vikings. They'll play three games in 12 days. It really? That, I don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me. Oh, it's a quirk, they claim. A quirk? Yeah. I don't think it's right. Don't think it's fair. But it's the Cowboys, so, I mean, maybe it is right and fair. It's a crazy schedule.
I think there's only two teams that play three away games in a row. I believe they are the Eagles and the Packers.
Okay. Yeah, they don't like to do that either. And neither one of them has a stadium issue themselves. I mean, the Packers have their place to themselves, and so do the Eagles. I mean, there's only one team franchise that has that problem. It's the Raiders. I just can't see them sticking in Oakland too much longer. I mean, that place is bad. I mean, really, think about it. And I still think that the leader to get the Raiders is still San Antonio. There's an area that is, you know, the new arena where they want to put an NHL team that just opened up a week ago. And that is on one side of the, it's actually across the strip from, it's behind New York, New York. It's on the other side from the MGM. There's an entire vacant lot to the right. When you're looking down the strip, to the right of MGM, there's a huge vacant lot, and there's been a lot of talk that they'd like to build a football stadium there to lure the Raiders and allow UNLV to play there. People don't realize Sam Boyd Stadium, where UNLV plays with the Las Vegas Bowl is, it's 9 miles from campus. 9 miles. All right, coming up, a sit-down with James Franklin, blue-white game tomorrow. Our thanks to Devin Still for being on the show. Check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
True refreshment can come in many forms. but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our show today, as it is every Friday, is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stock up for the blue-white weekend. It's going to be 70 and sunny tomorrow. It's going to be 74 and sunny on Sunday. 74 and sunny on Monday. So stock up for the weekend with the best of imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Store's really well laid out, plenty of room to operate, lots of help on hand to get the cases out to the car. Oh, and by the way, free parking. And it's not just imports, domestics, and microbrews. You want to make sure you're stocked up with plenty of water, plenty of soft drinks, snacks. How about fresh, hot, roasted peanuts? Plenty of that. Roast them fresh and hot every day, and the bags are right there at the register as you go to check out. And the pickle bar is a great touch. It's second to none. Love the barrel pickles. Love the dill pickles. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Time now for our sports bozo of the day. I'm going with new Georgia Tech head coach Josh Pastner. And Josh Pastner did a very good job at Memphis. But he says that if an assistant coach plays golf, they can't work for him. He said, my first question to anyone I might hire is this. Do you play golf? He told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. If they say yes, you can't work for me because that means 5 hours on a Saturday or a Sunday. Can't. Don't want it. That's for my assistant coaches. And my assistant coaches, if they're golfers, cannot work for me. 38-year-old told the Journal-Constitution he's always been a driven guy, acknowledges that he has a demanding approach, and is not always the best way to go at times. He did attempt to clarify the no golf policy to CBS Sports by saying that he personally loves golf, but also reiterated that the time commitment is incredibly demanding for assistants. He said he realizes there are charity events they may have to play in from time to time. It's not as much the golf part. He says it's the time commitment. It's got to be a seven-day-a-week job. Look, I understand that, especially now. I mean, the new texting rules, for example, which allows you to be in contact, I mean, I think, almost any time. But everybody needs a release. Everybody needs a release. You need a place to get away, escape. I remember talking, I had a long talk last year with Russ Rose. And Russ plays golf. And he was saying it's one place where he can get away, get out there, clear his head, doesn't have to be asked questions. He just has to question himself as to what shot he hit, but that's always been great for him. Everybody needs a release. Now, I, of course, love to play golf. Love to play. It's a great release for me. It really relaxes me a lot. Just kind of get out there, just do your own thing. Challenge yourself a bit. Have some fun. And I may not coach, but I do think I work hard. I think I throw a lot into everything I do. I throw a lot into this show. I throw a lot into every game I do. Try to leave no stone unturned. I'm watching tape. I'm going to practice. I'm going through analytics. I don't care. It's football, basketball, baseball, whatever it happens to be. This show, I mean, you think Devin still just materializes and just says, hey, I think I'll call Steve up and see how he's doing? Or getting a sit-down with James Franklin? We're the only ones who got to sit down with him. That's today's show. I mean, what about all the other shows? I mean, these things don't just materialize. You got to work at it all the time. Always work at it, because every day you've got to try and make it better. So we're going to try and our attempt today was to make today's show better than Wednesday's show. Does it always succeed? No, obviously, you know, you're going to have, like anything, but the attempt has got to be there. It may be a blue-white game, but do I want the blue-white game to be a better broadcast than last year's blue-white game? Absolutely. But do I have to be a 24-7 where I can get away and just relax? Now, do Sean and I relax when Kevin's on our foursome? No, because he's dangerous. But that's different. We're the only foursome last year that was sponsored by Purdy Insurance.
It might as well come right from the benchmark sponsor, right? Just go right to the top.
When he hit the railing, it almost killed Drew and me. With his drive. That's one of the scarier moments where you don't know where the ball is. You hear a ding. You're like, uh-oh, what does this mean?
And the way Kevin told the story was that your life was never, never in danger.
Yes, always the lament of the insane. But Josh Pastner is our sports bozo of the day. Blue-white game is tomorrow at Beaver Stadium. Earlier, James Franklin came into the Sunbury Motors studio here to join me to talk about the football team, where they are. And right off the top, asked him, what do you think of your team after seeing them now through 14 practices with number 15 coming up tomorrow?
You know, I'm pleased. You know, I talked to the team the other day in a team meeting just about, you know, if you kind of go by position, we're just so much more experienced and have more depth. I mean, you look at wide receiver, we were young and inexperienced. We're not anymore. You see guys like Juwan Johnson coming on as well, Brandon Polk coming on as well to provide depth for us in competition. As everybody, you know, knows, we've talked about it, you know, offensive line. Since we arrived, has been an issue. We have more depth. We have more bodies. We have more guys to develop than we have in the past, which has created competition. So that's been helpful. You know, the one position, obviously, that everybody knows is D tackle. We've lost some experience. We've lost some playmakers there. So I've been pleased with the guys that we have, but I do think it's going to be important with the two junior college players coming in as well as the high school prospects. We're going to need to find at least one more out of that bunch. If we could find two, then we're going to be in a much better position.
Obviously, you don't have a starting quarterback going into this thing. If you had an established quarterback, that's who you'd build the thing around. But what does it say that the competition will continue on as to how well they've performed against one another?
And what else would we talk about if we didn't have a quarterback controversy? I've been real pleased, you know, with those two guys. You know, you've been to a bunch of practices. You have access that most people don't get. So, you know, it's exciting. I mean, all the way back to 2 years ago, watching Trace go against the number one defense in a 2-minute drill, it's just different. You know, when they have to worry about him pulling it down and taking off for 25 yards or a first down, it changes things. It gives them pause. It gives them hesitation. Tommy's come in. He looks different than Trace. You know, he's probably around 6'4". He's probably almost 220 pounds. But both of them are very mobile. I think in a lot of ways, Tommy's a playmaker. At this point of his progression, he's still has some things he needs to learn. He'll make some mistakes in terms of progression or what he's reading in the defense. But he's one of these guys, he may read the wrong side of the defense, but he's going to throw a completion. You know, he just has a natural feel, almost like a point guard to make plays and to find open guys. Trace, you know, I've said it from the beginning when we were recruiting him, you know, the intangibles that he has. You know, you don't go to 4 state championships in high school just on physical abilities. You know, he's got some other things in terms of leadership, in terms of drive, in terms of determination that has been apparent really from day one. So I'm real pleased with those two guys. I think we all know in this league and in most leagues across the country, you better have two quarterbacks that you feel good about. And right now I think we do.
it's one thing to draw it up and hand out playbooks because there's a lot of changes you put in. How have you felt about their retention as you've watched it play out on the field?
Good, because I think it comes down to fit. I mean, Joe was brought here for a reason. You know, I looked at our personnel and then what we were doing offensively. You know, the plays aren't a whole lot different. You know, everybody in the country is running the same plays. But I do think this system takes a little bit of pressure off the offensive line, which I thought was important for us just where we're at, and it plays to the mobility of our quarterback. So I think the fact that the fit is good helps with the retention. And then I think the fact that Joe has been a coordinator, Joe has been a head coach before, the other thing is just his leadership and his energy and motivating the guys day in and day out helps. Because, you know, I still am a big believer. It doesn't matter whether you're running the 3-4, 4-3, Delaware wing tee, the spread, pro style. You get guys to buy in and believe and be excited about what you're doing, you have a chance to be successful.
What kind of job has Brent done defensively with his guys disguising what he wants to do?
Yeah, I think really good. You know, Brent, I've said this before, that, you know, probably hasn't gotten enough credit over the last 5 years. You know, you look at Brent and Bob's statistics, you know, when I hired them, both of them were very similar. Brent's done a great job for us for 5 years, understands me, understands Penn State, understands our players and what we're trying to do. One of the things that he's done is we were a big check with me defense where we would call, you know, two defenses, and if they came out in this formation, we would run that, which is good. But with the tempo stuff, that can be challenging sometimes. What Brent's doing is he's more just calling a defense, but within that defense, allowing the players to have some more personality and allowing the disguise. When you're just trying to get lined up in two defenses that are called based on what you're seeing, it's hard to do that. So calling one defense and allowing them to disguise and show some personality, I think has been really helpful. We're a little bit less predictable pre-snap and people knowing what we've done, but we've done a great job of, you know, not giving up big plays and creating big plays. The thing that's jumped out to me probably this spring more than anything that we've emphasized and had a lot of discussions about in the offseason is just turnovers. You know, attacking the ball, being aggressive. And this spring, especially last practice, that showed up.
Finally, this is an intangible, but in being around here, 2008 was an older team, but boy, they were connected. You've got a younger team, but boy, are they connected. I'm seeing it and sensing it. What does that mean to a coach when you see players connected as a team?
Well, it's something we've been stressing since the end of last, you know, season. You know, family, culture, you know, chemistry. Those three things we've talked about over and over and over again. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past. You know, when we first came here, you know, it was under some difficult times and difficult situations. So I think, you know, now we're in a position where everybody's kind of taking a deep breath. We've fought through the adversity. We've fought through the tough time. And no different than anything else, as a family, whenever you get through some type of adversity together and it shows people's true colors and that you're not going to run when times get tough, it brings people together. So I think time helps with that. Adversity helps with that. Trust helps with that. And I feel really good about our locker room right now. What's going on in that locker room when the coaches aren't around? What's going on Saturday night with the leadership on our team? And that's critical. That's critical to our success. I think the three new coaches that we've brought in have been really good fits, have helped with that as well. And I do feel after all my individual meetings with every player on the team, we're in a really good spot when it comes to those three ingredients.
As always, thanks.
Thank you.
James Franklin. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment, and get Sean's thoughts on the interview as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Get outside and clean up the yard.
Yes, dear.
Springtime means cleanup time.
Even at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Wanna see you in Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
It's the spring cleanup sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC has 95 new Kias all cleanup priced.
Just listen.
A 2015 Rio LX. SMC has four cleanup priced at $13,999.
2015 Optima LXs. Cleanup price starting at only $18,999.
And there's three 2016 Sportage LXs
starting at just $19,999.
Plus, Sunbury Motors Kia has 0% financing available for up to 66 months on these vehicles. And all come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. It's spring cleanup sales event going on now at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf. SMC, selling more cars, satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Tax and tax access, special financing to all qualified customers through CAMAT. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
Rather candid talk with James Franklin there, I thought. I don't know what you took out of it, but I mean, I thought he was pretty straightforward about everything. Talking about the importance of some of the recruits coming in that can help in a couple spots. Depth at wideout, talked extensively about the quarterbacks. And the last question I asked him was about being connected. And that's what this team is. They're connected. You can just see it by the way they work together, how they, there's a lot of, when you're on the sideline, there's a lot of football talk. Lots of football talk. And I'm talking about Andrew Nelson will be talking with Noah Bay. Noah will say, you know, what do I need to do on this? And Andrew will help him out. Barkley is really big, working with Mark Allen and Andre Robinson. But that's what they are. They're very connected. Jack and I are going to go into a lot of details tomorrow about the team. A lot of details. We're going to talk about a lot of individuals as time goes and give you a real read as to how things went during the course of the spring.
Look forward to that. Now, it's a big year three for the coach, and especially with two new coordinators this year, too.
Oh, exactly. You've got between Matt Linegrover taking over in the offensive line. Matt's a pro's pro. I really like him. I like his approach, what he teaches. He gives me a Mac McWhorter feeling in a lot of ways. I really, really like Matt Linegrover a lot. I think for him, too. And I have not brought this up to him. I've talked to Matt a little bit, but I haven't brought this up. But I've got a sense that just being the offensive line coach and not being the coordinator, because in Minnesota he was the offensive line coach and the coordinator. I think just taking one of those away, the coordinator part, has allowed him to really zero in and be a really effective offensive line coach. And he has worked hard. They've done a good job. A couple of those guys have really come on there up front. Joe Moorhead, who, by the way, is going to be the guest speaker in Scranton on May the 18th. I'm sure they'll get some idiot to emcee it. And you're going to love Joe Moorhead. He will coach from the sideline, not just tomorrow. He will coach from the sideline. That's his MO. That's how he operates. And he is going to be... obviously, out there, just he has a real good feel for plays, great mind. It's always rolling in gear. Brent Pry, you know what I think of him. I think Brent Pry has been terrific. And I remember when, I think it was Georgia Southern was taking a long look at Brent. And James pulled me aside and he says, boy, he says, Georgia Southern is talking to him. He says, I really don't want to lose that guy. Well, you're about to find out why, because Brent's been ready for this for a while, and I like the system he's put in. System makes a lot of sense for the players. And then there's Tim Banks. Tim Banks is a quiet guy in a lot of ways, but boy, is he a great football mind and just a great guy to be around. Safety guys love him. And being the co-coordinator, it's a great bounce-off moment for Brent Pry to have somebody of that experience on the staff
as they go through.
Just getting back to Joe Moorhead real quick, just the words that we heard from Bucknell head coach Joe Susan when the news came out that he was going to be the new offensive coordinator, and those battles that, you know, Joe had with Coach Moorhead during the Bucknell Fordham rivalry.
Right, exactly. Parking is free tomorrow starting at 8 a.m. If you could print a traffic assistance placard, that would help. Just go to gopsusports.com and you can print off the placard. If you need ADA parking, which will be on the south side of the stadium in a great spot, you must have your state-issued plate or placard visible. Okay? Can't be any easier than that. Autograph session tomorrow is from 11:15 to 12:05. Team will arrive at 10:30 tomorrow morning, like they always do. So they'll arrive at 10:30. Autographs from 11:15 to 12:05. Scrimmage at 2. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.